So in the course of a week, the colors of Christmas had changed to a blanket of white in many places. The garlands and the banners of the holy days will be removed from the sanctuary here at Emmanuel today after worship, replaced by the simple green vestments of ordinary time. Next Sunday, January 14th, is the first Sunday of ordinary time, the liturgic color of ordinary time, or as we call it here, Epiphany, is green to represent our growth as Christians. In a few short days, we've moved from the baby Jesus in Bethlehem through baptism and on to Epiphany, and the appearance of the star and the gift-bearing wise man to the banks of the River Jordan with John the Baptist. By scholarly accounts, Jesus is 30 years old already and asking to be baptized. I guess it's like in TV years, you know, where you see a child and then all of a sudden they're in college. The church year moves too quickly for me, but so too does my life sometimes. In some ways, it feels good to let the fuss of the holidays go and welcome life back as usual. During the holy days, we live to celebrate. Ordinary time is when we live what we celebrate. Over lunch with members of a church I served early in my ministry, one of them, a new mother, confided in me that she had her daughter baptized Sunday. "Oh," I said, "you had Sarah baptized?" "No," she said, "I baptized Sarah." My job security, feeling a little threatened, I nervously chewed my salad and calmly said, "Oh," and she went on to explain. We were supposed to have her baptized in December, but with Christmas and all, it just seemed like too much, and our families couldn't get here from the West Coast, so we had to put it off until a date in May, but that seemed so far away, and I just didn't feel right about it. So after church, while there was still water in the font, I took Sarah up there, touched her forehead with water, and told her that she belonged to God. It made me feel better that she belongs to God. "Well, we'll have her baptized in May," she said, "but I honestly feel that she's baptized now." Well, the seminary trained, Presbytery ordained, decently ended order, liturgically correct, reformed theologian in me wanted to protest. "You can't do that!" Deep down inside, her story touched me and has forced me to do some thinking about the important moments of baptism. The words of baptism are familiar. Child of God, marked as Christ's own, and sealed by the Spirit forever. The pastor hands the child back to loving parents who breathe a sigh of relief and put the picture in the baby book or the scrapbook, and it's a symbol of our faith. It's a ritual. No, surely it's more than that. What does baptism mean? I remember accompanying a distraught grandmother to a hospital to baptize prematurely born triplets who were being kept alive in incubators. The grandmother fervently believed that if the infants died and were not baptized, they would somehow not be acceptable to God. And as we careened dangerously through traffic, I remember thinking, if one has to present a certificate of baptism at the pearly gates, I am in deep trouble because I don't even know where mine is. Why is baptism so important? Is it so that God will recognize us, or so that we will begin to recognize God? I don't believe God requires baptism for eternal life, and yet I believe Jesus commanded it. In the Reformed tradition, baptism is one of our two sacraments, the two things we believe Jesus taught and told us to do, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Take, eat, this is my body, do this in remembrance of me. And go into all nations, making disciples and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, holy words and holy moments, neither of which are about requirements, both of which are about relationships. Whether our parents chose it for us or we for ourselves, baptism marks the beginning of our intentional belonging to God and to one another. Baptism is about humbly recognizing life is a gift that belongs to one far greater, and that is to be shared as members of the family of God. But is baptism an important moment for babies or on new member Sundays? Is baptism a once-in-a-lifetime moment, or is it all about the moment of our lifetimes? If you've been baptized, what does your baptism mean to you today? Graham came into my office and sat down in the chair and kicked his feet. His 10-year-old cheeks were sun-blushed, his freckles bright beneath a Cincinnati Reds baseball cap. And fresh from soccer practice, he had a request for me. "Pastor Robin, I'd like to be baptized," he said. We were learning about Jesus' baptism in church school, and the teacher asked who was baptized, and all the other kids raised their hand. "I want to be baptized too." So using my best pastoral care, I said, "Graham, do you really want to be baptized because everyone else is?" His freckles winked up at me. "No," he confessed. "I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God." And then he looked shyly away. I was touched by his understanding. "I said, how about this Sunday?" I asked. The smile turned to concern. "Pastor Robin, do I have to be baptized in front of all those people in church? Can't I just have a friend baptize me in the river?" "Where did you get that idea?" I asked. "Well, Jesus was baptized by his cousin John in the river, wasn't he?" Caught off guard, I said, "You've got a point." "Graham, if a friend baptized you in the river," I asked, "how would the church recognize it?" Knowing this was a teachable moment, I climbed up on the step stool to reach from my Presbyterian Book of Order that was conveniently located on the farthest shelf. But before I could get it down, I heard his response. He said, "By my new way of living?" And I nearly fell off the step stool. I left the Book of Order on the shelf. His understanding wasn't just simple, it was profound. By my new way of living, Graham had turned the teachable moment into a lesson for me and for us. A new way of living. That's what we are called to in our baptism. Whether we are baptized as infants or as young children or as teenagers or as adults, whether we have reaffirmed our faith in front of a congregation upon joining a church, or whether we have yet to take that step of commitment, our baptism represents a moment that we recognize as the beginning of a new way of life. A way of life in which we belong to God and to God's family, the church. A way of life in which we begin to know what our lives are really about. Not many accounts of Jesus' life are recorded in all four Gospels, but all four Gospels tell the story of Jesus' baptism with a lot of similarities. Why was Jesus' baptism such an important moment? In all four Gospels, Jesus' baptism marks the beginning of his ministry. From the moment on, after that baptism, people began to recognize a new way of living in him. The Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, landed on Jesus' shoulder, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In his baptism, Jesus was set up by the Spirit to live a life that was about so much more than his life. Just as quickly as we move from the stable in Bethlehem to the River Jordan, as we read the Gospels, we move from Jesus' baptism to stories about his way of living. The Gospels immediately tell us how Jesus lived through the same temptations and the same trials of life that we face, and how in his everyday encounters with everyday people, he loved and forgave and taught and included and celebrated and shared and fed and healed. A dove accompanied by the voice of God didn't ride around on Jesus' shoulder for the rest of his life, and yet in all of his encounters, in all of the occasions, people recognized something different about him. In his baptism, Jesus was set up by the Spirit for a life that was about so much more than his life. Those who knew him recognized in him a new way of living. Jesus' baptism is one of my favorite images of Scripture because although we don't see or hear the Holy Spirit descend in the visible form of a dove when we are baptized or confirmed or make a profession of faith, the same thing happens to us. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God says to us, "You are my beloved child with whom I am well pleased." And like Graham in that moment, whether we recognize it then or sometime later, we are called to a new way of life. And like Jesus, we are set up by the Spirit to live a life that is about so much more than our life. Is baptism a moment? Or is baptism a lifetime? At a Catholic funeral I attended years ago, I was moved as the priest sprinkled holy water on the casket as a reminder of the deceased's baptism. In the Presbyterian Book of Common Worship, the funeral liturgy says, "Our baptism is complete in our death." If baptism marks the beginning of our belonging to God, a relationship that is complete in our death, then our baptism comes alive through our living. Is baptism a moment or a lifetime? A very close colleague of mine died about 3 years ago. Tom was recognizable to many by the large crosses that he wore, the kind only minister and nuns can get away with wearing in the public, the kind that embarrassed me sometimes. His collection was extensive, many of them gifts from places and people who were special to him, and he wore one every day, everywhere. And he said it was to recognize his life belonged to God. And as I think about his life, Tom didn't have to wear a cross to be recognized as a child of God. His faith was visible in his conversations and in his care. His life was about more than his life. It was a lifetime of living to God. Tom's baptism came alive through his living. Is baptism a moment or a lifetime? What does your baptism mean to you now? Is it visible in your living? The question creates even more questions in my mind. I often wonder if someone were to follow us around in our everyday living, what would they observe? What kind of running commentary would we hear about our way of living? What would we be observed doing in our encounters and occasions as we interacted with our neighbors or our colleagues or our families at dinner or friends at a party? Would they recognize our way of living as belonging to God? Would they see that our lives are about more than simply living a life? When John protested baptizing Jesus, saying Jesus should baptize him, Jesus said, "Let it be so for now, for it is proper to fulfill God's righteousness." for it is proper to fulfill God's righteousness. The righteousness Jesus was talking about was not an Old Testament regulation or a church requirement. Jesus was talking about God's righteousness, the righteousness that does all that God requires of those who accept baptism, the righteousness that reflects what belonging to God looks like by living a life of mercy and love and forgiveness, creative adherence to God's covenant of obedience. The new way of living that we are set up by the Spirit in our baptism are called to live all the moments of our lifetime. Over many years, I have discovered something that passionate people have in common. It's not that they are all passionate about their jobs. The passionate people I know live lives that are about something other than themselves. Their life's work is about something more than their degrees, or their resumes, or their paychecks, or their career tracks. Their lives are about something more than their lives. Like the person who works tons of hours and makes time to tutor every week. Like another who delivers meals to the elderly. Like a young woman who takes care of her elderly aunt at some inconvenience to her own schedule. Like the young man who has a little brother and was transferred out of the country, but still sends the boy's single mom money for Boy Scout dues and summer camp so that he can experience male role models in his life. The world is looking for passionate people, people whose lives have meaning and purpose. Friends, your baptism gives you both. Your baptism means you belong to God in your birth and in your death and in all the moments in between. Your baptism gives you purpose because through it you are set up by the Holy Spirit to live a life that is about more than your life. You are set up by the Spirit for a new way of living every moment of your lifetime. Let it be so for now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. That is my prayer for you in this new year, and as we embark on the season of Epiphany. The Gospel. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.